Well, welcome back to our series that we've been calling Overflow God. We're looking at how to change our thinking from a scarcity mentality, you know, where we think there's not enough, everything's in short supply, changing that into a mindset of abundance. And today I want to talk with you about having enough of the right people in your life. And we all need friends, allies, supporters, loved ones, family members. The scripture says it is not good for us to be alone. We are programmed for human companionship and connection. Whether you are an extrovert or an introvert, we all need enough of the right people in our lives. We need enough of the right people in our lives. The problem is that we often have too many of the wrong people in our lives, or not enough at all. I heard about this man who loved to be outdoors, you know, out in nature, and he would love to walk and hike, and he would take pictures of the beautiful scenery, brought his camera along. He said it helped him to meditate, reflect, and connect with a higher purpose. But then he started posting his photographs on social media, and pretty soon he became preoccupied with all the likes and the thumbs ups and the positive comments he was getting from people he didn't even know. Over time, his preoccupation turned into an obsession, which then turned into an addiction. He became so consumed with his online popularity that he actually started choosing which shots he would take based on how many likes he thought they would get. It got so bad, he said, that he couldn't even enjoy the activity anymore. Some people want to be liked too much. They're people pleasers, and they would do almost anything to be accepted and proved by others. They often define their value by how large their social circle is, how large their circle of friends is, how many contacts they have in their address books, how many followers they have on social media, and they're never satisfied. They always want more likes, more people to like them, even if they're the wrong people. On the other hand, loneliness has become an epidemic in this country. Last year, the Surgeon General issued a report drawing attention to record levels of social disconnection. According to that report, almost one half of the American population feels lonely. The nation's top physician declared it to be an urgent public health concern. And rightly so, because studies have shown that lonely people are at a higher risk of health problems, depression, anxiety, and even premature death. This is what happened to the prophet Elijah. Today in the first reading, he had just destroyed 450 false prophets brought into the land by the evil queen Jezebel, who was the wife of the Jewish king Ahab. Jezebel was from a foreign country with people who worshipped pagan gods. Her agenda was to wipe out all of Israel's prophets and replace them with her own. So naturally, when she heard about Elijah's victory, she was furious. She was furious, and she vowed to hunt him down and have him put to death. Well, Elijah fled for his life. He ran out into the desert. And when he'd gotten far enough away, he thought he was safe for a while, he lay down underneath a tree. He was broken, burned out, exhausted, afraid, and he was alone. He prayed for death and fell asleep. But an angel came, woke him up, brought him some food, and ordered him to eat. After that, Elijah felt stronger. He got up. He walked further into the desert to a place called Mount Horeb. And on top of that mountain, God spoke to Elijah and asked him what was wrong. Elijah said, "I have been most zealous for the Lord, the God of hosts. But the Israelites have forsaken your covenant, torn down your altars, and put your prophets to the sword. I alone am left, and they seek to take my life. Elijah thought he was the only faithful person left in all of Israel, and he felt alone and so very lonely. In her younger years, my mother was a very social person. She was outgoing, she made a lot of friends, she went to church and engaged in, you know, activities and interests with other people all the time. She was a likable person. But after my father went to be with the Lord, my mother became more and more reclusive. Some people had hurt her, you know, people she trusted had betrayed her. She started watching the news all day long, every day, rarely left the house. Over time, she became so disengaged, she had no friends at all. During the last 10 years of her life, my mother's only social connection was my brother and his family who lived next door to her. There have never been so many people on the planet as there are today. There have never been easier ways to connect with those people than today. And yet somehow, so many of us have a scarcity mentality when it comes to having enough of the right people in our lives. We either isolate ourselves, they tend to isolate themselves and feeling lonely, like you can't trust anybody in the world anymore, there's no good people out there, or they take anybody and everybody who comes along because they want to be liked and they don't want to feel lonely. But as we have been saying in this series, God is a God of abundance. He always gives us what we need at just the right time. And that includes the right people. God will give us the right people at the right time when we need them the most. When Elijah was at his lowest point, feeling lonely and betrayed by the other people in Israel who had turned away from their faith, God told him that he would not be lonely anymore. In fact, he said that there were at least 7,000 other people in the land who had remained faithful to the Lord. Elijah thought he was all alone, but God told him, no, there are 7,000 other people who have remained faithful to me. God knew that Elijah had been out in the desert too long. It had affected his perception of reality, and God said he needed to get back to people and get back into the community. So he told Elijah to go home, find a young man named Elisha, similar name, slightly different, find a young man named Elisha and anoint him as his protege and successor. When Elijah found his new apprentice, he was plowing the fields with some oxen. Elijah went over to him and threw his cloak around him. It was a sign that he should follow in Elijah's footsteps. So the young man said goodbye to his family, slaughtered the oxen. Sure, they weren't happy about that. Slaughtered the oxen and burned the plowing equipment so that he would never be tempted to turn back. He then left home and went with Elijah. He followed his new teacher wherever he went. He would never leave his side. Three times Elijah said, "Stay here. I'm going to go to this nearby city and I'll be right back." Three times his young protege said, "As the Lord lives and as you yourself live, I will never leave you." God put Elisha in Elijah's life at just the right time when he needed him the most. That's what God does. He is a God of abundance, and he will give us what we need. He makes sure we have what we need when we need it, and that includes the right people at the right time. One of the darkest periods for me was ninth grade. My parents started having some financial challenges. That meant that I had to move to a new school. My old school was a small private, you know, community private school, and I knew all the teachers and the other kids. But this new school was enormous, thousands of students. I felt so lost and disoriented. I didn't know how I would ever find my place. On the first day, I couldn't find my locker, got lost going to my first class. No one helped me. But the absolute worst experience was the lunchroom. You remember that from high school? The scariest place in the entire building where you had to socialize with other people, the lunchroom. When I got there, everybody was sitting in their own friend groups. You know, the football players with the other athletes, the popular kids with the in crowd, the brainiacs, the band geeks, the preppies, and yes, those who indulged in certain substances. They all sat together in their own little cliques. And I remember coming out of the lunch line with my tray in hand, and I just stopped and looked out at this scary lunchroom, and I was frozen with fear. I had no idea where I would sit. I felt so embarrassed. Well, finally, I just sat down at an empty table, feeling pretty sorry for myself. After a few minutes, a boy in a military uniform came over and took the seat next to me, introduced himself to me, and then he waved over his other ROTC buddies to come from their table to our table to sit with us. I was so grateful for what he did. He made me feel like I was not alone. His name was Jerry. We became friends. He got me a job after school at the place he worked after school. And we hung out on the weekends sometimes. He was a lifeline for me when I needed it the most. In the end, I made lifelong friends in that school. Friends that I still know today. As you can see from this picture, I'm the cute guy in the middle there and the cute one there in the middle with all the girls hanging around him, right? I mean, it's no surprise, right? But anyway, I still know and love those people today. And it all began with that one act of kindness, that one act of generosity that gave me the confidence to branch out and get adjusted to a new environment. God gave me the right person, Jerry, at just the right time. You don't need to chase after more likes on social media, more hits on your YouTube channel. You don't need to be out every night trying to expand your social circle, increase your social standing. You also don't need to stay at home, isolated and afraid because you want to avoid the pain that the wrong people in your life can cause. No, God has already lined up the people you need to take you further. The right people who will lift you up, who will encourage you, who will help you become the person God created you to be. This is what God does. He is the perfect matchmaker. He has already ordained the people you need who will help you move further toward your destiny. In the gospel reading, Jesus was bantering with a crowd of people. They were bantering because they had said that Moses had fed their ancestors in the desert with bread from heaven called manna. And they challenged Jesus. They said, "What can you do for us? That's what Moses did. What can you do for us?" Jesus shot back and he said, "Well, I am the true bread come down from heaven. Your ancestors died in the desert, but whoever eats this bread will live forever. I am the true bread come down from heaven." Well, when they heard that, many in the crowd turned against him. They said, "Who is this man? We know who he is. He's lying to us. We know his mother and his father. We know where he came from. He didn't come down from heaven." They were thinking in earthly terms and could not understand the spiritual point Jesus was making, that his flesh and blood sacrificed on the cross would become the source of wisdom and eternal life for everyone who believed in him. So Jesus said, everyone who listens to my Father and learns from him comes to me. He was saying, it doesn't matter how many of you walk away from me. My heavenly Father is already working behind the scenes, lining up the right people who will come to me, people who will believe in me, people who will have faith in who I am. This is what God always does and still does today. Maybe you have a ton of people in your life right now, and you're thinking, "What's Father Roger talking about loneliness?" Maybe you've got a lot of people, but also maybe some of those people aren't right for you. They might be wrong for you. They could be dragging you down, you know, critical, focusing on the negative, maybe tempting you to compromise your values or wasting your time, distracting you from your purpose. They could just be holding you back. You know, in the second reading, the Apostle Paul says, all bitterness, fury, anger, shouting, and reviling must be removed from you, along with all malice. And sometimes that means you have to remove bitter, angry, malicious people from your life. You have to let them go. Don't worry about your social life. Don't be afraid you'll end up alone. Don't sell yourself short. There is no shortage of good people that God can bring into your life. Or maybe you're on the other end of things. You don't have enough people in your life and you're feeling lonely. Don't spend another minute in isolation. Don't remain disconnected and alone because you've all but given up on the human race. I mean, you may have your dog or cat as your best friend, and that's good. I love dogs, and I guess, well, cats can be companions too, they tell me. It's a good thing, but you still need human companionship. So switch over into an abundance mentality and start thanking God that He is already working behind the scenes to bring the best kind of people into your life, people who will support you, people who inspire you and make you want to be your best, people who will respect your values and beliefs, will never betray you, and will always guard and protect your hearts. The right kind of people, people you want to be like, people you want to imitate, successful, happy, positive, motivated, creative, productive, generous, compassionate, kind, forgiving, faithful people. God will bring those people into your life. When you make Him your people broker, He will bring you the right people into your life at the time you need them the most. And then, as St. Paul says, you will live in love.